Support for the Exchange podcast from NHPR comes from you, our subscribers, and from
the Elm Street Group at Morgan Stanley, working with clients to create enduring financial value and a lasting impact through sustainable investing solutions. A local wealth management team with global insights. Find out more at the Elm Street Group at morganstanley.com.
And from Antioch University, New England, helping students change the world with graduate degrees in environmental studies, psychology, education, and management. antioch.edu/new-england.
And from Dartmouth Hitchcock, imagine nationally ranked healthcare in your community. With convenient locations throughout northern New England, world-class providers are closer than you think. Visit dartmouthhitchcock.org to learn more. Dartmouth Hitchcock is here.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Manchester voters choose a new mayor next week to serve a diverse community of 110,000 people. The Queen City is New Hampshire's largest by far, a place with a storied textile mill past, trying to make a future in high tech and higher education. The position of mayor is a strong one compared to many other cities in the state. Manchester's mayor is really the CEO of the city, with veto power over the Board of Aldermen and control of the school board. For 7 years, Ted Gatzis has been mayor, after almost a decade as a Republican state senator. He's running for re-election this year. His main opponent is Joyce Craig, who served one term on the school board and three on the Board of Aldermen. The candidates competed in the last election as well, with Gatzis winning in a very close race. This hour, Craig and Gatzis are with us in studio, and let's hear from you. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. 1-800-892-NHPR. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. And Mayor Gatzis and Ms. Craig, welcome to both of you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Good morning. How are you?
So even though this isn't really a formal debate today, we did want to just let the candidates make an opening statement so folks can just get a sense of what's important to them. This will be 1 minute long, and we did a coin toss a couple minutes ago. And Mayor Gatzis, you get to go first. 1 minute, please.
Well, I want to thank NHPR for having us here this morning so that we can hear the differences that we both have on the race that's before us. We've rolled out a 12-point plan for 12 wards to make a stronger Manchester. I invite everybody to go to the plan and take a look at it. It's on tedgatzis.com. And certainly, I will enjoy having this debate. It's been a while since I've been in here. And certainly, Laura, you always do a great job.
Thank you very much. And you didn't use your full 60 seconds.
That's
is there
right.
anything else you want to say, Mayor
Gatzis? No, I'd rather get right into it.
Well, and we've got a lot to cover, so I appreciate that. Go ahead, Ms. Craig. 60-second or less opening statement.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, NHPR, for hosting this morning. I want to thank Mayor Gatzis for participating and welcome your listeners. I'm running for mayor because I love Manchester, and I know we can do a better job in terms of making sure our city is a place where people want to live, work, and raise their families. I've been talking to voters throughout our city, in every ward, listening to their concerns and their ideas, and I'm consistently being told that it's time for a change. I believe Manchester has tremendous potential, but we also face some serious challenges, challenges that we had 2 years ago in our city, challenges that have not gotten better, and challenges that we can no longer ignore. Our schools are struggling. We face a serious opioid crisis in our city, and we've seen significant mismanagement in City Hall and the mayor's office. I've put forward comprehensive plans that your listeners can read at joycecraig.org that cover things such as transparency, city management, economic development, safety in the opioid crisis, and education, specifics and ideas on how we can address those issues.
Well, and opioids and education, we'll definitely be talking about that. I'm going to jump in on you, Ms. Craig, because that is 60 seconds. And I want to remind our listeners that you can join us as well. We're open to your questions and comments. 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. You can respond on Facebook or Twitter. It's NHPR Exchange. And both of you, let's start with a question that I got from a listener earlier this week about the campaign itself. An email from Bill in Manchester who says, quote, "Politics can be a very ugly game at times. Could each of you please say something nice or positive about each other?" Bill, thank you for the email. And Ms. Craig, you first.
Sure, thank you. It's a great question. The mayor and I worked together for 6 years. There were some things we agreed on, some things we didn't agree on. But I think, when it comes down to it, we both love Manchester and want to see the best for it. I think our differences in terms of where we believe leadership should be. But I think, we both love our city.
So the nice thing you would say about Mayor Gatsis is he loves Manchester as much as I do.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mayor Gatsis.
Well, I worked with Joyce Craig when we brought City Year to the city of Manchester to make sure we got funding both at the city side and the school side for 4 teams to come in this city. So I applaud her for working with me to get that done because it was important to the students and it still is. So as we go forward, that's something that I think that we both agree on, that City Year is a good product for the city of Manchester.
What is that real quick, Mayor Gatsis?
City Year is about students that come in and give a year of their life, and they don't make a lot of money doing it. And they go into classrooms and they mentor students and they befriend them. And certainly students, when they see the red jackets, they know they have a friend that they can count on out there.
Well, again, I want to remind our listeners, it's 1-800-892-6477. A lot of emails came in before the show, and we'll be folding those in this hour. And lots of calls are coming in now, so that's great. Let's jump into some of the issues that you both mentioned. Definitely the opioid crisis, how Manchester has been handling this. According to the union leader, City Police Chief Nick Willard said just yesterday that drug overdoses and opioid addiction are not a law enforcement issue and that social service agencies need to be asked what they're doing to curb drug use in the city. That law enforcement's role is basically to lock people up for selling drugs, for driving under the influence. Ms. Craig, to you first, do you agree with Chief Willard?
To a certain extent, yes, I do agree. We need a comprehensive approach to addressing the opioid crisis. We need services in our city, absolutely. We have Safe Station right now that's servicing 65% of the people that are coming to Safe Station are from across the state.
And that's so, the fire department's, right?
Fire department's effort, yes, absolutely. The fire department has done an amazing job. But, I think in terms of leadership and what a mayor in Manchester can do better is advocate for funding for Safe Station. It's been in place for 2 years. The mayor recently came to Concord about a week ago and, got funding. But what about the last 2 years? Why hasn't, the city been helping to get more funding for that? We need to help Serenity Place and other resources in our city to make sure that we have the treatment to provide to those people who are most in need and make sure the word gets out to those people. We need to put education programs in our schools so that our students know that they shouldn't be doing drugs and that it's very dangerous. They're seeing their parents do this today, and we need to do more to educate our public. And, honestly, I've gone on ride-alongs with police and fire that have been tremendously valuable and have impacted and allowed me to put policies together and to impact this. So when I went on a ride along with the police department and the fire department, they pointed out problem buildings in our city that were vacant that have drug dealers living in them. And the city is not actively trying to take those buildings back or do anything. And,
the chief then that yeah. Social service agencies really need to cover more of this. What do you think, Mayor Gatsis? This is not really a law enforcement problem, he seems
no
to be
question.
Saying.
The chief has been pretty clear. We can't arrest our way out of this problem. Some 16 months ago or 18 months ago, Chris Hickey came to me with an idea. He said, Mayor, I think that I'm not sure if this is going to work, but we've had a couple people already come into the fire stations that we've gotten help for. I said to him, it's not going to take us 6 to 18 months. It's going to take you 3 weeks because people are dying from this and we need to get help for them. So Safe Station was created in May. Since that time, that was the first day that Chief Goonan was in his position, and we rolled it out, and we've had over 2,700 people that have come to the Safe Station program. 65% of those people are from outside of Manchester that we're helping. So when I came to the governor last week to ask for money for help for the city, it's because I had statistics that I could show him that 65% of the people were coming from outside the city of Manchester.
So you were basically helping state residents
yes.
elsewhere with
and
the
I
drug
sent,
crisis.
I sent, at the time, Governor Hassan a letter asking her to declare it a state of emergency. And I also sent that to the president back in August. I sent Governor Hassan hers in March of 2016 asking it to be declared a state of emergency. And I asked the president to declare it back in August. So when Chief Goonan and the governor went to Washington, the president understood what was happening in this state, and the formula that we have for distribution of money should be changed. It shouldn't be based on per capita. It should be based on what the needs are.
Well, and that is a complaint that has come up, and I wanted to ask both of you about it. President Trump recently declared the opioid crisis a public health emergency. But as you just alluded to, Mr. Mayor, our congressional delegation says the feds seem to be stiffing New Hampshire. Our U.S. senators have said this. Congresswoman Carol Shea Porter also said this recently. So, Ms. Craig, to you, because you made the charge about not getting enough money, is this partly the federal government's fault that Manchester hasn't gotten enough?
Absolutely. Our state delegation has been fighting tremendously hard to get more funding to New Hampshire and Manchester. And, you know, I think it's great that the president had the governor and Chief Goonan there last week and specifically, you know, called out Chief Goonan and the Safe Station efforts. But to not provide more funding is terrible. We need more money in Manchester to treat the people who are struggling with this addiction. Over the summer, we saw an increase in overdoses. In September, we had 147 overdoses in Manchester, the most ever.
In one month. Wow.
And so although Safe Station and what the fire department is doing is helping, it's reactionary. We need to be more proactive in helping people, when they're suffering, getting them to the services that they need. When someone is overdoses and they're brought back to life with Narcan, they're brought to the hospital and they're held under observation, and then they're released from the hospital to go back on the street. I mean, that's a perfect time for us to be able to get them into treatment that we have available.
And it seems like that's an area where you and Mayor Gatz disagree, actually, Ms. Craig, that we need more social services, agreeing with Chief Willard and so forth.
Well, I can only tell you that it's important that we understand that you can't force those people into recovery. They've got to want to do it. And that's why Safe Station is such a great program, because they voluntarily come in and say, I want help. And when somebody is at that level and they're at the bottom and they decide on their own that they want help, that's when you can get them to the help. We take them in from Safe Station if they need to spend a few days in detox over at Helping Hands. That's available. That's where the funding came in from the governor's office for $150,000 that we can move those people into the Helping Hands, and then they can get to Serenity Place and they can get them in a program that can help them. But you can't force somebody from the emergency room to help if they don't want to be there.
One more question about money. Sorry, just one second. I wanted to clarify. So do you agree with our congressional delegation that the Trump administration is giving New Hampshire short shrift? The congressional delegation has said that the way the formula is done, you know, New Hampshire's not getting anywhere near what it needs.
Well, that's a formula that's set up in Washington. So, again, I certainly agree with Senator Shaheen that the formula should be changed.
So are you taking active steps to change that, or is Governor Sununu acting on your behalf?
I think that the governor is acting, and I think that the senators are acting, and certainly their voices have to be heard in Washington, that it can't be based on, you know, a formula that doesn't make sense. Look, Laura, you know, in the last year, 2016, 64,000 deaths in this country by opiate overdoses.
It's staggering.
That's absolutely unbelievable. So this isn't something that's just happening here in Manchester. It's across this country, and we've got to get control of it.
Ms. Craig, go ahead. Yeah, real quick.
We've recently and over the years had national attention in Manchester with, you know, CNN doing ride-alongs and other national reporters doing ride-alongs with our first responders. So they see and are, you know, the United States has been seeing what is going on in Manchester. So we have no secrets here. I mean, our citizens are struggling. Our first responders are battling day in and day out to save people in Manchester. And the mayor of Manchester has to do everything in their power to support those services.
Well, we received this email from Kelly, and this relates to the opioid crisis and treatment and so forth. Kelly says, as mayor, will you work with the Manchester delegation to the State House to ensure bipartisan support to reauthorize Medicaid expansion? And as both of you know, Medicaid expansion, I think 6,000 or 7,000 people have gotten substance abuse treatment through this Medicaid expansion. So, Mayor Gatzis, you first. Medicaid expansion, yes or no?
Well, I can only tell you that's up to the state, and they've got to find a way that they're going to fund it. So that's what's important, and we can have that conversation, but we got to make sure that we continue to help people. I think it's important to understand that when we first put in the Safe Station program, now people across this country on a daily basis call Chief Goonan, to ask him questions about how they can institute it in their community because they see that it's working.
What about Medicaid, though, Mayor Gatsas? Will you speak in favor of this and urge your fellow lawmakers, your delegation, the Manchester delegation, to support this?
I think that it's important that they understand what's before us and how are we going to pay for it. Those are the things that they talk about in Concord, and I know that they have people's lives under consideration when they do that.
So I'm still not feeling really clear as to what you're going
to
do.
I'll have to wait to see what their legislation is before I commit to saying, yeah, I'm going to go up there and support a piece of legislation, because I don't have to tell you, Laura, every time a piece of legislation comes down, sometimes it could be much different than what you think.
Okay. And speaking as a former state senator there, go ahead, Ms. Craig, Medicaid expansion, yes or no?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I was in Concord speaking on behalf of it when Senator Hassan had open comment. We've heard, and we most recently heard from former Chief Mara, that if Medicaid expansion goes away, treatment for people who need it most facing opioid addiction will go away. Safe Station will close. Serenity Place will not be able to provide the services that they need. Farnham Center will have to cut services. So if Medicaid expansion goes away, our treatment for people goes away. So I would absolutely advocate for it.
Well, as you both know, the opioid crisis is a huge concern for city residents, for families, especially those struggling with addiction. But more broadly as well, we did some person on the street interviews in Manchester about the issues that people there wanted us to ask you. This opioid crisis came up a lot. Let's hear from one resident.
Okay, my name is Kaylee Green. I go to school at the New Hampshire Institute of Art, and I work at Muse Paint Bar. And my question would be, what do you plan to do with the drug problem in Manchester right now? Because I feel like I can't really go to any of the parks, you know, without getting harassed or not feeling safe.
So picking up on what Kaylee told us, Mayor Gatsas, to you first, how much is this drug problem hurting your overall city's quality of life, your overall efforts to say this is a great place, everybody should come and live and work here?
Well, I can tell you that back a few years ago when Spice was making its headway, it was in Bronstein Park, and I closed that park off to the folks that were in there because it was part of the school district, because kids were going in there, the bands were going in there, the practice, the kids were participating in physical education in that park. So we changed it, and we made sure that those folks weren't in that park because there were overdoses, 42 in a weekend.
Wow, it's a lot.
With Spice. So we then put a smoking ban in place. The alderman supported it. We put it in place to close smoking to six parks in the city of Manchester. And certainly what we've seen, and the police have been patrolling the parks, I think now it's a much different quality of life in those parks.
Is this, though, you know, some of the national attention that Ms. Craig mentioned, is this hurting your ability to tout the city and sell it as a great place?
No, because it's a great place. The people can't imagine the renaissance that the city's going through. If you go downtown on Elm Street, you know, we had the Citizens Bank building have 92 apartments put in it. The average income in those apartments is about $180,000 per apartment. There's a new building that's being reconstructed, Ted Herbert's Music Mart. There's 32 apartments going in there. So there's a great renaissance happening in the city. And I think that if you go downtown at night, you will see the excitement that's in this city. Restaurants are opening up everywhere. People are walking around, and they certainly enjoy the city of Manchester.
Well, go ahead, Ms. Craig, and we'll definitely talk about economic development later in the show. So go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we've, like I mentioned when I opened, have been talking to voters across Manchester. And the opioid crisis that the city faces is probably the number one thing that comes up. People are worried about people suffering from the addiction, their family members, their friends, and just the impact that it is having on our community. And I do believe it is having an impact. And it's an issue and a challenge that we have in our city that we can't ignore. I agree, we have great things happening in Manchester, and there's tremendous potential. But if we don't address the issues, the true underlying issues, and help those people that are struggling, then we're not going to get where we need to be.
All right, coming up, a quick lightning round of questions for the Manchester mayoral candidates. Thank you for those emails that we shared. We'll take more of your emails after a short break. The email address is exchange@nhpr.org. And you can, of course, give us a call, 1-800-892-6477. Stay with us. This is The Exchange on NHPR. Thank you.
I was wondering.
I'm curious to know more about.
My question is, what is a filibuster?
How does the Electoral College work?
What is required for declaring war?
A majority whip.
Congressional caucuses?
You've got questions? We've got answers. Civics 101, the shame-free podcast refresher course on how our democracy works. There is no such thing as a stupid question. So ask away and subscribe to Civics 101 on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download your podcasts.
Thank you so much. Keep up the excellent work.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today, it's a Manchester mayoral rematch with incumbent Mayor Ted Gatsis and challenger Joyce Craig, a former alderman and school board member. The number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. You can also watch this debate on Facebook Live. And I want to turn now, both of you, please, to what we call the lightning round. This is a different tempo in our conversation. The rules are simple. I'll ask you a short question, and each of you will give a short answer. Yes or no is great. It's harder than it sounds, believe it or not. So let's begin, and I'll go back and forth between the both of you. So first off, Keno, good for Manchester or not? Mayor Gatsis.
Well, certainly, it's something that's going to be before the voters in November. They'll have the opportunity to vote for it. I advocated very strongly for full-day kindergarten. We have full-day kindergarten in the city of Manchester. It means an additional, with the funding that they've put to it, an additional $1,100. If they receive more money through the Keno process, it could go up as high as $1,800. So I'll let the voters decide whether we should have Keno in the city of Manchester or not.
Sounds like you appreciate Keno, though, for the money it might bring you.
I think it's a revenue source for education, and that's important.
What do you think, Ms. Craig? Keno, yes or no?
Yeah, I'm glad it's going before the voters in Manchester. I think that's the right decision. Personally, I am not for Keno, and it's because that our local community is getting no revenue from it. 6% of the revenue is going to the restaurant or the bar that's going to have the Keno machines there, but nothing's coming back to the local community. And the money for kindergarten isn't tied directly to that vote. Anything above and beyond, we'd be getting per capita, you know, to any community. So I think because of the challenges we have in Manchester today, not getting any revenue from this is not the right decision.
Second question, if New Hampshire were to legalize marijuana, that's a big if, would you support or oppose selling it in Manchester? And Ms. Craig, you first on that.
You know, at this point, I don't agree with legalization of marijuana.
Mayor Gatsis?
I don't support legalization of marijuana because I believe it's the gateway drug to heroin.
All right. Question number three. Should Manchester offer itself as a sanctuary city for undocumented immigrants? This came up, by the way, recently in the special state Senate election that included your city. So, Mayor Gatsis, you first. Yes or no, sanctuary city?
No.
No,
Ms. Craig.
No, Manchester is a welcoming community. The police chief has done a great job in terms of welcoming diversity into our community, and we would potentially lose federal funds, so not at this point.
All right, and I'm going to ask both of you about immigration a little bit later.
No,
definitely not
any,
in a lightning round.
No, at any point.
No, at any point. Two easier lightning round questions for you. What is your favorite place to go outdoors in Manchester? We're not going to pin you down and make you say your favorite restaurant because I know that gets too political. But Joyce Craig, you first on that one. Your favorite place outdoors in Manchester?
Dorse Pond.
Okay. Mayor Gatsis.
Well, I can tell you that the city has developed a new disc golf course that's out by the cemetery. And I'll tell you that it's amazing how many people are out playing disc golf. That's a great place to go. They're putting another 18 holes in. And we're looking to bring a championship round right here to the city of Manchester.
Wow,
so
okay. And for the
really
uninitiated,
good.
Disc golf is frisbees, basically.
Frisbee, it's amazing how far somebody can throw a frisbee.
All right, last question. What is a talent that you have completely unrelated to the office of mayor? And Mayor Gatsis, you first on this one.
Well, I was an athlete growing up, and that gave me a lot of the insight that I have going forward to be able to understand that there is no I in team. And that we can work together to get things done.
What sports do you do today, besides disc golf?
No, as a matter of fact, I've never played disc golf. But I enjoy the outdoors and I enjoy walking.
All right. How about you, Ms. Craig? A talent you have completely unrelated to the office of mayor?
A marathon runner. So I ran the last 10 consecutive Boston marathons, and I've run four others. I have not been running a lot lately. Since I've been running for mayor, I've been walking and knocking, but you know, it's marathon running, and it's really helped in this campaign because, you know, you need to follow a plan and you need to be disciplined, and there's a lot of similarities.
All right, yeah, running for mayor is a marathon of a different kind. All right, good job on the lightning round. I want to go to our callers who are waiting. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. And first up is Lee calling from Manchester. Hi, Lee. Go ahead. You're on the Exchange. Lee, you're on
the
air.
I was calling to see what the candidates thought about Manchester School of Technology students attending Manchester Community College.
Okay, and Mayor Getz is going to throw that to you first, and just enlighten listeners who aren't from Manchester what that is about.
The School of Technology is the only four-year high school in the state of New Hampshire that you can go in and learn a trade, be a plumber, be a welder, be a beautician, culinary arts, many other things. There's about 16 different courses that you can take. We instituted that in the city about 5 years ago, and we're having great, great, great success with it. There was a group from Brazil that came in, educators from the country of Brazil. They went to the School of Technology, and they couldn't believe what they were seeing.
So it's a high school.
It's a total high school. It's the fourth high school that we have in the city of Manchester, and they want to replicate what they saw at the School of Technology back in their home country so that students that aren't going to go on to a higher education as college can find a trade that they can work in.
Go ahead, Ms. Craig.
Thank you, Lee. That's a great question. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for students from MST to attend Manchester Community College. I mean, we're so lucky to have the colleges and universities that we have in our city. My two kids are recent graduates from Central, and they were able to take courses in high school and get credit from the community college. So, you know, when they went to the University of New Hampshire, they were almost a semester ahead than other students that started freshman year. So I would like this opportunity not only to be at MST, but to be at all of our high schools in Manchester. I think it really benefits our students if we can give them a leg up when they enter into their college career.
Well, another question.
They talked in Manchester for many years about making the School of Technology a full four-year high school. God rest his soul. Dr. Brennan came in. I met with him. I told him 6 months. I want to see his freshman class in September, and I want to see it to get started because there are students out there that aren't excited about classroom education. They want to learn hands-on. So again, that leads us to the MST question in the fully four-year high school. We made some changes there. As a matter of fact, there was a bond that came forward, and my opponent voted against that bond. So okay. I think it's important that we advance educational opportunities.
Okay, go ahead, Ms. Craig, and then I do want to talk more broadly about education. I've got a couple questions for
both
of you.
Thank you. I'd just like to respond to Mayor Gatz's comment. I did vote against a bond that went toward MST because it was going to be used to move walls and move the daycare at MST at a time where our other three high schools in Manchester were suffering, where we didn't have textbooks, where we had large class sizes. So I voted against it because I wanted that money to go into direct student services versus fit up for a building.
Well, let's talk about education. Lots of questions. We could probably spend our whole hour talking about that. One question has to do with a bill before the legislature on what are called education freedom savings accounts. This would allow parents to use state funding to send their children to private schools or for homeschool supplies. Supporters, as I'm sure you both know, say this gives parents more educational choices, improves public schools by providing competition. Critics, as I'm sure you both know, warn it would drain already limited resources from public education. Ms. Craig, to you first, what's your view on this education freedom savings accounts?
So we're consistently seeing a decrease in adequacy coming from the state for our schools. And it's estimated that if 4% of students take advantage of this, Manchester School District stands to lose almost $2 million. And that would be devastating to our school district. So I am not supporting this. I do think it's very important that, you know, parents do what they need to do for their kids. You know, every child is different. I have three. And thankfully, the public schools have met their needs. But if they didn't, I would find other options for them. And that's what parents need to do. But to take money away from our public school systems, I don't agree with.
So if elected mayor, you would speak out to the legislature about this and say, don't do it.
Yes.
How about you, Mayor Gatzis?
You know, choice is important to parents. And certainly, if we're fortunate enough, the Keno does get passed and it generates an awful lot of money. Maybe we can take a look at some of those funds being allocated towards scholarships for kids that want to go to other schools in the community. But we have to remember one thing, that when we talk about a student that leaves the public school district and goes to another school, the public school district still must pay for its special education costs. So there has to be some ties with what's happening there. And how do we do it to make sure that it's the best avenue for students?
So you sound a little concerned. Ms. Craig said she's against it. You sound, got some concerns about it.
I think it's important that parents have choice.
But maybe not extend this too far?
We should take a look at the final legislation to see how they're going to fund things and what they plan on doing.
Again, the number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. You can send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. A couple more questions on education. In recent years, towns surrounding Manchester, Auburn, Hooksett, Candia, have stopped sending students to Manchester. They used to contribute students to the Manchester district, as both of you know. For various reasons, they cited large class sizes. They cited what they called safety concerns. That resulted in millions of dollars lost. It happened while both of you were serving as city officials. To you first, Ms. Craig, could you have done anything to stop this? It's a big hit to the city.
It absolutely is. Since those three towns have left, the city has lost more than $15 million in revenue. We had a long-term contract with Hooksett that lasted through 2023. As an alderman, there was nothing that I could have done. I mean, I spoke to friends who were in Hooksett and, you know, built relationships, but that's all I could do. This was the mayor and the school board. And at the time, like you mentioned, parents were concerned about class sizes, safety. Kids didn't have books and desks. So, you know, the mayor really didn't listen to their concerns. And they were concerns that parents, myself, had for our students in Manchester. And he pretty much said, go find another option. And they did. And now they're gone. They ended this contract that we had through 2023, and we are losing revenue every year. And so, you know, I believe that the mayor could have done a better job listening to the concerns and addressing those concerns. And as mayor, one of the first things that I would do is reach back out to Hooksett so that we could build back this broken relationship, long-term relationship that we had, in hopes that some students would come back to Manchester.
I have another question for you about what you would do if elected on that. But go ahead, Mayor Gatsis.
I think that Joyce hit the nail on the head. It's the mayor and the school board. There's nothing that the mayor can do. He only has one vote there, and it's the school board. And when Hooksett decided that they were going to leave, it was because they wanted choice. They wanted the ability to send their children to Pinkerton. They wanted their ability to send their children to Londonderry, Pembroke, Bow. So it was about choice, and I think it's important that we understand that.
But the perception was that those were, quote-unquote, better schools. That was why they wanted that choice, right, Mary?
Well, Gatsis? They'll be back because we're doing a lot of great things in our schools, and they'll be back. We have the Barr Foundation that just stepped up. You know, again, and when you talk about perception, I believe in our schools. We have great schools. We have great students, great teachers, and great administrators. But you can't continually talk about how bad it is. Yeah, there are things that we can improve on. But again, education in the city of Manchester, we still have kids going to Harvard. We have kids going to Ivy League schools. The valedictorians that spoke last year at the graduating class of Central High School and Memorial, if you'd have heard their speeches, they talked about the great education. One was from Hooksett and the diversity that they had when they came to the Manchester School District. So this great things happening. When you have a school of the year, a teacher of the year, and a principal of the year, That doesn't just happen by accident.
Ms. Craig, Mayor Gatsis has said that you've been too negative about Manchester schools, and certainly no school system is perfect. How fair is it really to pin all the problems in the schools on one person? I mean, teachers, for example, will tell me that they feel like they're held 100% responsible for a child's learning progress, even if the kid comes to school hungry or exhausted or full of anxiety from trauma. So is it really fair to pin all the problems in Manchester schools on one person?
Well, I think that the mayor of Manchester has a unique opportunity here in the city as a chairman of the school board. So the mayor does have a very big impact on what is happening in our schools. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when we look at what's going on in the city, the good and the bad, we need to look to the leadership. And listen, I'm a proud graduate of Manchester Public Schools, and my children, two have graduated.
Which one did you graduate from? I'm just curious.
Memorial. My two older kids graduated from Central, and my daughter Catherine is an eighth grader at Hillside right now. So I believe in the Manchester Public Schools, but I think it is wrong for us to bury our head in the sand and say everything's great. Only 28% of our third graders in Manchester are reading at grade level, and only 22% of our fifth graders are proficient in math. those are some serious issues. And
so
if we don't address
them.
What
would you do, Ms. Craig? Would that involve more money to make class sizes smaller so teachers could spend more time student to student? Would it involve, you know, more money to improve those textbooks or have after school programs? Because Manchester has a tax cap and that does limit the amount of money that you can spend. So please be specific about what you would do.
Sure. Number one is I would talk about the issues and we need to acknowledge them. And then we need to put plans in place to implement so we address them. I've talked to administrators and teachers in this district. There's very little to no professional development for teachers to ensure that we're doing the best we can in teaching our kids. And yes, making sure we do have resources, the workbooks, the books, online resources, so we get more parent involvement with our kids. And to me, there are great opportunities with our business community and with colleges and universities in our town to build public-private partnerships. I've talked to these people, and they're willing to help. They just want to be partner in helping so they see where their dollars are going and can measure the success.
So you don't have to bust through the tax cap to make some of these improvements?
Absolutely do not.
Mayor Gatsas, what do you think?
Well, you know,
is it all about money?
My opponent talks about reading scores and math scores. But what she fails to tell you is that they dropped throughout the entire state of New Hampshire. Why? Because the tests that we were using for Smarter Balance. Even the scores in Bedford went down. So when you want to compare to people to what's happening in the state, let's tell them the whole story. That's why the Education Commissioner changed the testing that we're going to bring forward in this state. It's important that kids are tested, not every single week, as Smarter Balance did, but again, about how we're going to test students so that we can find their achievements. You go to Parker Varney. There's a whole new innovative education program there that kids are learning by.
Is that an elementary school?
That's an elementary school that was a school of the year back a couple of years ago. But again, if you go in there and see the innovation, it's improved discipline. It's improved attendance. So a lot of great things are happening. And that person that was the principal of that school, Amy Allen, is being brought forward as the assistant superintendent of elementary so that she can take this concept and run throughout the entire city with it.
Do Manchester schools need more money to make some of these improvements that you and Ms. Craig talk about?
No, I think what we need to do is find, and certainly I've put collaborations together with businesses. They've come forward. Andy Cruz used to come in, make the GRADE program, give students in the four high schools an opportunity to win a car just by bringing their letter that I'd send them when they got the honor roll or the principal's list. And bring it into auto fair and register, and they could win a car.
Okay, I've got two teenage boys that would definitely be into that. But go ahead, Ms. Craig.
I mean, just to a couple things that the mayor said. Even though test scores have dropped in throughout the state, I think it is a travesty for the mayor of this city not to acknowledge that 22% of fifth graders not being proficient in math is wrong, and that we need to address this yesterday. And in terms of Parker Varney, I think that is a great model, and we've seen increases in test scores. But this mayor has had 8 years in order to scale that throughout the district. That school receives an awful lot more money than any other school in our district. So I would just question, why have we not made those changes to the other elementary schools when we've had the opportunity to, if everything is so great?
You know, let's just talk, because she brought up Beach Street School.
No, I didn't.
She said that Beach Street School is that 28% that are reading at educational proficiency for reading.
I think she said it's the whole district, right?
Yes.
The whole Manchester district.
Well,
yeah.
I can tell you that the principal at Beach Street School was just selected by the governor to be the assistant education director. So there are a lot of great things that are happening in Manchester. And people, yeah, is there room for improvement? Absolutely. Absolutely room for improvement, especially when we can give kids educational opportunities like we are at West with the Bar Foundation that's coming in and the internships that we're going to different businesses with, CMC. That's very important.
CMC Catholic Medical
Correct.
Center. All right. Both of you, lots to talk about. We haven't even scratched the surface of immigration yet. We'll also, if we can, cover the tax cap in Manchester and how both of you would work with that. And we'll take more of your questions and comments. The exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, the candidates for Manchester mayor are here, incumbent Ted Gatzis and challenger Joyce Craig. Let's hear from you, too. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Respond on Facebook or Twitter at NHPR Exchange. You can also watch this debate on Facebook Live. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. Mayor Gatzis, for you on this one, we've gotten a couple emails and calls that I haven't gotten to yet on a rape that happened at Manchester West. Instead of going to all those calls and reading those emails, I just want to ask you about this. 5 months after news broke about a 2-year-old rape at Manchester West, is there a clear protocol now, Mr. Mayor, for releasing information about serious crimes that occur in Manchester schools?
Well,
and thanks to everybody who called on that.
Laura, let me just say that, you know, there's a victim and there's a family, and they're trying to get on with their lives. Once that came to the newspaper, I called the superintendent in and the police chief and talked about protocol and how we would release that to parents. But I can tell you that it's an awful incident. But again, we should respect the victim and respect the family so that they can get on with their lives.
Go ahead, Ms. Craig, and then I have another question for you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah.
Thank you. There was a clear protocol in place.
And what is that protocol? I'm just curious.
It was followed at Central a few years ago where parents were notified of something similar happening. And for some reason, this did not happen at West. You know, to me, it's absolutely wrong that nothing was said. And you know, obviously, everybody feels for the victim and their family. But to have this be silent for 2 years, knowing that the students in West knew, and that, you know, this silence breeds doubt in the minds of people, you know, where if something like this were to happen to them, then they feel that they can't come forward because they wouldn't, their words wouldn't be believed. And, you know, we should have, this city should have brought counselors immediately into West High School to talk to those students. And parents should have been notified so they had the opportunity to speak with their children one-on-one, their daughters and their sons, to talk about what happened at West. And as a community, we should have talked about it. But it was kept silent for 2 years. And that is absolutely wrong.
Were you on the board of aldermen at the time? Were you aware that this had happened?
I was not aware of it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mayor Gatzis. I want to just let you jump in again on this. What the protocol is now if something happens. Again, it seems like a lot of things went wrong in this case. What's the protocol now, Mayor Gatzis, for when, if, we all hope not, a rape happens at a school in Manchester? What's
the
ABC?
I hope that it never happens ever again.
Absolutely.
It's horrific. The protocol is very clear that the superintendent and the police chief will meet, and they will come out with an announcement to the parents and to the students.
But I guess the question that I have and a lot of residents have is, why wasn't that protocol followed? And why hasn't there been any notification to parents of West High School that there have been protocols put in place to ensure safety of students? I mean, the number one priority of a mayor in this city should make sure that students are safe in our schools.
The superintendent bears some responsibility as well. A rape is a crime. There's the police chief, too. So it isn't just the mayor, right, Ms. Craig, that needs to, you know, be keeping an eye on safety of students in schools?
I think that there is a group involved. But ultimately, if something's not happening, the leader of our city needs to make sure it does.
Okay, Mayor Gatzis. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Ms.
Just
Craig.
when they notice that, you know, this is a serious situation, just, you know, the mayor of Manchester ultimately is responsible for, like I said earlier, the good and the bad in our city. And, you know, when the situation came to light 2 years ago, when the perpetrator was sentenced to 10 years in jail.
30 years. 30 years in jail.
30 years in jail.
That's how bad the crime was.
And he kept it quiet.
And the victim and their family are trying to get on with their lives, and this is the lowest form of politicization I've ever seen on an issue.
All right, and I'm going to leave it at that just because we've got 15 minutes left and a full bank of phone lines. I really appreciate this conversation. And I also want to let people know we've put resources on our website if you do want to read more about this and some of the other issues in this Manchester mayoral race, nhpr.org/exchange. Let's go back to our listeners, and Robert's been waiting. Hi, Robert. You're on The Exchange. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you doing today? Laura, big fan.
Good. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, I was just calling, simple question. Are taxes too high in Manchester?
Are taxes too high in Manchester? Robert, thank you for keeping it simple. Ms. Craig, I'm going to throw that to you first.
Sure. I think taxes are too high in Manchester, and I think what you need to look at is the mismanagement that's happened over the last 8 years. We talked about it earlier, but we lost the city of Manchester, and the Mayor Gatsas lost over $15 million from our sending towns leaving Manchester.
When Hooksett and Candia
exactly,
and those towns left.
Yep, when they left. And then at a time when we are dealing with significant financial issues, the mayor decided to spend $1.3 million on renovating his office in City Hall when students in Manchester schools don't have textbooks and people that I'm talking to are complaining about potholes in the roads. So, yeah, I think that with new management, reallocation of resources and building partnerships in our community, we can do better for the taxpayers of Manchester.
Go ahead, Mayor Gatsas. Are taxes too high in Manchester?
Yes, they are. But let's get some points straight. The mayor's office, all it had was paper and carpeting done. The furniture in the mayor's office, except for the chair, is all used furniture that's been there for 8 years. It's the only furniture at City Hall. We renovated the building because there were leaks in the roof, which cost $65,000 to repair. We had air conditioning and heating units that weren't working, that when we were having meetings, people were either freezing or cooking. So again, when somebody wants to say that the mayor's office was $1.3 million in renovations, that's just not true.
So if reelected, would you aim to lower taxes?
I've 16 times I have vetoed proposals that would have increased taxes to the voters and the taxpayers of this great city. The number one issue that people talk about out there is not about the opiate issue. It's about taxes. Their taxes are too high. They need to find support in how do we do things. During my administration, in the first year, the first thing I did was renegotiate the Verizon Wireless Agreement and save $24 million over the course of that time for the taxpayers. We then put in LED lighting. We saved the taxpayers $600,000 in street lighting.
So various efficiencies.
Absolutely.
And renegotiations.
Things that we've done
money
over the course of 8 years. Negotiated with the hospitals to get an additional 3% discount on our claims.
So
which
you
meant
would
about
reduce,
$400,000.
You would aim to reduce taxes then.
Absolutely.
If reelected. How about you, Ms. Craig? Would you reduce taxes if elected mayor?
Absolutely try to do the best that I can to reduce taxes. Budget that I would put forward would be under the tax cap. But I just have to say, in response to what the mayor said, it's a classic case, again, of mismanagement. He should really look at the detail from the $1.3 million that was spent on his office and on City Hall, because $6,000 is earmarked toward furniture that went into your office. And if you don't know about it, then that's something that you may want to look at the detail.
Move on, because I think that for listeners broadly, we can direct them to some resources on our website, but I just think that if we spend the next couple minutes talking about this, we're going to miss out on some important issues. And since you mentioned the tax cap, both of you, here's an email from Kate who says, mayors have to submit budgets that do not exceed the tax cap. It's the law. Would either candidate submit a proposed budget that they knew would not cover planned city expenses just so they could meet their legal obligation and force the Board of Aldermen to exceed the tax cap? Go ahead, Ms. Craig. I'll give you that one first. Would you submit a budget that you knew wouldn't cover expenses as you saw it, but you needed to meet the tax cap?
No, the budget that I would present would fall under the tax cap, but I would be honest about what my budget did. So if, it undercuts, for example, like the mayor's budget didn't cover severance, I would talk about what the implications of that would be. Where he presented his budget this year, zeroed out severance, the fire chief came forward and said, well, we're going to have to potentially close a fire station. He completely ignored it, which caused the fire chief to have to go to the press in order to keep.
Severance is.
Severance is the money for when someone retires, a city employee retires.
I see. Yeah. So that could be a potential big chunk of money there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Very quickly to Kate's question. Thank you for the email, Kate. Would you submit a budget that you knew wouldn't cover planned city expenses just so you could meet the tax cap? That's Kate's question.
Let us understand that the budget that I proposed, there were two choices: lay people off or tell departments that they had to meet their severance requirements. I believe that keeping people working was the best thing in the state of, in the city of Manchester. In the past, before we had a severance account, departments had to meet the requirement of severance. So they had to worry about their budget. They had to work their budget, and that's what they had to do. I believe that they should go back to that and that we shouldn't be laying people off because we had contracts that we voted and approved that were $2.5 million over what the budget was.
Again, the number for you to join us, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. I want to ask both of you about economic development, and we've touched on it, but specifically about rail. And to you, Ms. Craig, first, please. You've advocated for private rail service to be extended from Nashua and Bedford to Manchester's Mill Yard. What amount of taxpayer dollars, if any, would you support devoting to this?
Yeah, I think when I talk to residents in the city and businesses in the Mill Yard, there's tremendous support for rail. But what we need to do is look to ways to do that without increasing taxes or taxpayer dollars into it. So what Mayor Donchus is doing, communicating with the company
in Nashua,
you know, is an interesting option because it's private rail. And I do know that there's a cost associated with coming over the bridge. But I think that the mayor of Manchester has to have an open mind and work with the business community to see if they would be willing to help in terms of paying for what needs to be done so that we can get rail to Manchester, or look to Concord or the federal government to see if there are any grants available. I just feel like, you know, this is something that could really make a difference in our city, and people are wanting it and asking for it. And we need a mayor in Manchester who's not going to say no, but who's going to look to every resource and look through every idea in order to make it happen.
So a vital part of economic development for that growing Mill Yard, having rail connection, and certainly we've got the advanced, I always get the acronym
Army.
Wrong, Army, thank
yes.
you, Advanced Regenerative Manufacturing Institute. But if rail is so important to that Mill Yard development, Ms. Craig, why not put a little bit of taxpayer money into it if it's going to help Manchester so much? Nashua, for example, since you raised it, did say that it would be happy to kick in some money for platforms and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? In communications that I've had with the businesses in the Mill Yard, they have said that they'd be willing to participate. And I would like to investigate that before I would say we would use any taxpayer dollars.
Okay, so how about you, Mayor Gatsis? When you ran for governor in 2016, your rivals for the GOP nomination opposed passenger rail, and they said you were kind of flip-floppy on the issue. So let's clarify now. How do you feel about commuter rail in any fashion for Manchester?
What I said was that if a private developer wanted to come in and spend his money, that would be something I could support. And I can tell you that I met with the developer that's talking about the rail from Worcester to Providence to Bedford.
Bedford. How do you feel about that?
Well,
why not downtown Manchester?
Well, because there's a $20 million renovation on a bridge that has to happen before it can come downtown. It's 6 minutes from downtown Manchester. I brought in the Manchester Transit Authority to talk to them about service to get to that spot in Bedford, and it's a six-minute ride. So again, those plans are 5 years away. But let's understand that the rail that the private developer is talking about is not like 10 or 12 trips that are going back and forth into Boston. It's about just bringing people from Boston to Bedford, and then back from Bedford back to Boston. So it's not, as we understand rail, that would be in going back and forth from the city to Boston.
How important is rail for that development of the Mill Yard? How important is it for that area to be connected to, you know, Nashua, Boston, and points south?
Well, there's no question that the Mill Yard is booming. The Army project is the exclamation point on the Mill Yard. That's something that is generating an awful lot of activity in this city from companies throughout the country that are looking to come to Manchester. And I say the next boom is going to be the Gaslight District that's just above the Mill Yard now. Southern New Hampshire University is coming in. They're putting in 1,700 parking spaces at the Langer Mill so that they can provide parking for their employees that they have in the Mill Yard. So there are things that are happening, and the Army project is a great exclamation point on the Mill Yard.
So sounds like both of you think commuter rail would be great, but you really don't want to pay for it.
I don't believe the taxpayers should be paying for it.
How about you, Ms. Craig? Same thing?
Yeah, at this point, yes.
Okay. Both of you, I did want to ask you about immigration. I have a lot of questions, but I think I'm going to have to set them aside in the interest of time. But I did want to ask you one particular question, and that's about the attempt by the Muslim community in Manchester to build a mosque. And I was reading something on the Boston Globe just this morning. You know, rocks have been thrown at the mosque. People have come by and harassed Muslims as they head in for services. As the Globe put it, you know, surveillance cameras and fencing keep trespassers at bay, but they can't stop the rocks that are regularly hurled over the fence. A quick question for both of you, please. Mayor Gatsis, you first. What role does the Manchester mayor play in responding to these kinds of incidents?
Well, there's no question that the city of Manchester is a welcoming community. We have a very diverse population here in the city, and that gives us opportunity for a lot of great things to happen. I can tell you that on a regular basis, I meet and see Muslims that appreciate what's happening in the city of Manchester and how they're advocated for when the advocacy is needed. So again, I think that it's sad that people want to talk about religion in a very bad way, because I think everybody has that opportunity in life.
Okay, Ms. Craig, real quick.
Yeah, I agree. The diversity that we have in Manchester is one of our biggest benefits, and we need to be a welcoming community. I have visited the mosque on South Willow Street a number of times and support the efforts for Muslims to build a mosque. And, you know, the leader of Manchester could be doing more to encourage people to be more supportive and encouraging versus negative.
All right.
Well, I can tell you that the mayor of Manchester just nominated somebody to the police commission that's a Muslim.
Both of you,
before
we started our show today, we flipped a coin to see who would get to do that closing 30-second pitch to voters before Election Day. Again, we really appreciate you coming in today, both of you. Again, this was decided by coin toss. And Ms. Craig, you get to go first. Just a 30-second, please vote for me.
Sure. Thank you, Laura. You know, on November 7th, residents of Manchester have an important decision. We can continue going down the same path, same direction we've been in for the last 8 years, or we can go in a new direction and build a stronger Manchester. Our city has tremendous potential, but to get there, we need new leadership in the mayor's office. I've put together some great plans, which you can read at joycecraig.org. Talk about improving our schools, keeping our neighborhood safe, combating the opioid crisis, and protecting city services. I'll increase transparency and end the mismanagement and wasteful spending. And I will always protect your hard-earned tax dollars.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And I respectfully ask for your vote on November 7th.
And go ahead, Mayor Gatzes, 30 seconds.
Thank you, Laura, for the opportunity. This campaign's all about trust. Who do you trust to make sure you keep their your taxes down? It's all about who do you believe in to make sure we lead the renaissance that we see here in the city of Manchester. Great things are happening in the city, not only on the economic development side, but on the educational side. And we must keep that going to give students every opportunity educationally that we can believe in. And certainly, I ask for your vote on November 7th. Thank you very much, and God bless.
I really appreciate both of you coming in. Lots of information packed into a short, short hour. We will put links to your campaigns on our website. We also have more resources there. Joyce Craig, Ted Gatzes, thank you so much for being here.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate
thank
you. It. This is The Exchange on NHPR.
The views expressed in this program are those of the individuals and not those of NHPR, its Board of Trustees, or its underwriters. If you liked what you heard, spread the word. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts to help other listeners find us. And thanks.